You're tuning in to the Our Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Mark challenges us to accept Jesus' challenge to us in the parable of the four soils. Jesus' prayer for each of us is that we would be found as good soil.
We're going to be in Mark chapter 4. We'll start off in Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 1 through 13.
Began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, for it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seed fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside give everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven."
Amen. Right, let's pray. Father, as we go into your word tonight, we ask you to give us revelation.
Yes.
We want to hear from you, not from a person. Let there be change in us as a result of your words.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen. What the Lord put on my heart as I was looking at this scripture? It's a very familiar passage. How many of you have ever read this passage of scripture before? And I really think it's like one of those vitally important scriptures that doesn't get enough airtime. And the question that really was on my heart for sharing today is like, how do I know? Like, how do I know if I'm really walking with the Lord? I think that's one of the most important questions that we can ask that I don't think we ask enough. But the Bible will say stuff like, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Test yourself, knowing Jesus is with you unless you fail the test. And this scripture is like so important because, think about it, at the end of it, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Lord is saying." So when he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear," the ear is the place of hearing and responding. It's the place of hearing and responding. So not when, back in the Bible days, if somebody was a slave or a bondservant, they would actually take their ear, put it against a post, and bang them all through their ear as a sign of slavery. And so, when he says, "He who has an ear," is saying, hear, don't just hear what I'm saying, but hear and respond to it. And so, "He who has an ear, let him hear what Jesus is saying." And it's so crucial for us to understand this because we talk about repentance. And repentance comes from when you hear the truth and you respond to the truth in a godly way. I hear it and I respond to it. I hear it and I respond to it. But what's so crucial about this scripture is in verse 13, he says, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables?" Like, if you don't understand this parable right here, how will you understand the rest of the things I teach? Because the majority of Jesus' teachings came in parables. Many people who don't even understand this parable then go on and try to walk out Christianity, try to understand Christ. He said, if you don't get this, you won't get it. The principles of the kingdom are based on this solid foundation. And so first I want to talk a little bit about the word parables. And parable It is a word derived from the Greek word signifying to compare together. It means to denote a similitude taken from a natural object to illustrate a spiritual or moral subject. Got that? The purpose of a parable is to convey truth in a more interesting manner to the mind. Another purpose of the parable is to educate the ignorant by making an appeal to them through the senses. Another purpose of the parable was to convey some offensive truth or personal rebuke in such a way to bring it home to the conscience. Great example we saw of that was in the book of 2 Samuel, when David was committing adultery. The prophet had to come to David, he gave him a parable so that David could see himself. He rebuked. Now, let's see, it wouldn't have been wise to just walk up and rebuke the king. It's a good way to get yourself killed. Yeah. But he gave him a parable, and then the king actually rebuked himself. That's one of the purposes of a parable, so you can see what God is going, trying to say to you. The other part was to conceal from a part of the audience truth which he intended others to understand. So Jesus would talk in parables. That some, right, he would give truth right in front of the people. He didn't want to get it. He would speak it, right? He said, why? And I talk in parables. I don't want everybody to get it. Everybody don't want to get it. And if you don't want to get it, I don't want you to get it. That's Jesus' mentality. If you don't want to get it, I don't want you to get it. My grace is for the humble. My grace is for those that they need it. So those who say, I need it and want it, they get it. And so when we look at this and understand what the purpose of the parable is, and he says, if you don't get this one, get the rest one. Let's break this one down and see exactly what God is saying to us so we can understand it. So actually, if you read this parable, it's in Matthew, Mark, it's in Luke. And I use the translation of Luke as he breaks down this parable. And let's walk through it in Luke chapter 8, verse 11 through 15. He actually breaks this parable down. And verse 11, he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And let's just stop there for a moment. The seed represents the word of God, right? God, anytime God's word is communicated, whether through a sermon, whether through reading the scripture, whether through divine revelation of the Holy Spirit, that is the seed of God being planted. The seed is the word of God, right? Let's read, Hannah, can you read the rest of 11 through 15, then we'll go through, walk through it.
Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance.
Write down that word or underline perseverance. So we know the seed is the word. And I like that one verse that the sower goes to sow the seed. So what is a sower? A sower is one who scatters seeds. Let me help you. If you are saved, you are a sower. If you are saved, you are a sower. And your purpose is to sow or scatter seeds. Now, picture grass seeds. Nobody plants grass seeds one at a time, right? You normally just grab them and you fling them, right? You don't know which ones are going to grow and which ones are not going to grow. Same thing, as we sow the word of God, we just fling it. I don't know any situation that the word of God is not needed. Can you think of one? The word of God is good for every single situation there is. You grab them and you fling them. You don't know which one's going to grow and which ones are not. So the goal of the sower is to sow the seeds. Now, you are a sower, but the is God. Now, some seeds, it said, fell by the wayside. Wayside is that hard path, or it's called headland. That's actually another word for wayside, is headland. So some of the seed only went head deep. Y'all getting that?
Mm-hmm.
Some people come to church and it only gets head deep. It never sinks into the heart. It sure enough gets head deep. The wayside people are like the novice. They come to church. Man, sometimes they distract it while they're in church. Easily distracted. When you ain't planning on learning nothing, you can easily distract it anyway.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't know what you learn. Right? Just say, you might even have a great time when you visited the church.
Yeah.
You like the lights, the cameras, the action. What you learn? I don't remember. Right? Man, church was good. Oh, what you learn? I don't know. But it was good. Have you ever had that experience, or you know somebody that had that experience? It only got head deep. It didn't get heart deep. And a lot of times, those person that's so excited about church, oh man, the church was awesome, it was amazing, you never see them again.
Yep, that's the truth.
Right?
Yep.
And it says the reason why is it says the wicked one comes. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times we don't even know that, I don't think we believe that there is really a wicked one out there that's going to war with you.
Yeah.
And you may say, I'm not going to war with him. It don't matter if you're going to war with him. He's going to war with you. The devil messes, if the devil ain't messing with you, it's probably because he don't view you as a threat.
Yeah.
But if you are walking with the Lord, and you claiming to walk with the Lord, you got any sphere of influence, any kind of testimony, the devil is messing with you. And he comes, but look what he says. He comes, who's the wicked one? Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the accuser, the tempter. Yeah, sometimes I study my enemy. So I can know a little bit about him.
Yeah.
I always tell people the devil, man, he comes as Satan, which means adversary. And then he comes as Lucifer, which means bearer of light. The Bible says that sometimes the enemy, the angel, the devil will mask himself as an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we'll say no to Satan and yes to Lucifer.
Oh, that's good.
Yep.
Hey, man, he's so good at what he does. Can I give you an illustration of that? When I grew up, back in the day, there was a show called The Wizard of Oz. And you had the Wicked Witch of the West. That was the bad guy, right? And then the good guy was the Good Witch from the East. But in the Bible, they're both wicked. One, Satan. And then Lucifer, he says, I'm going to help you get away from Satan. He still got you. You don't understand that. Like that's why the most important thing about it is there's a way that seems right to a man, it leads to death. The only way you can escape Satan and Lucifer is the word of God. Because it can seem like, well, I'm doing better. It's not that. See, we run away from the demons and look all nasty. We run right to the arms of that demon that look like the guy you've been praying for. But he says, he comes while you're in church. So you got to the place, and he comes. Man, all of a sudden, your phone just keeps going off. All of a sudden, you can't, you know, you just can't focus on anything. And that word just got to the headland.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's your own hard heart that you already said, well, I just came because I told somebody I'd come. I really don't plan on getting nothing. And so you sometimes can have a hard heart. You got that? So then, the next one it says, what's that? It says, those have been by the wayside. And then it was ones that received the seed on the stony places.
Uh-huh.
Right? And one verse said it received the word with joy. Man, you ever see that person? They get saved, man. They hear the word, they just sprout right up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're ready to preach and teach. They're ready to run every ministry there is. Right? Put me on the worship team. I'm ready to go. I ain't living nothing. Right? But they get fired up, heartbeat, and they start off real fast. But then it says when they're in the distress from sin, all of a sudden temptation comes. All of a sudden you realize this relationship with Jesus is going to cost me some of my other relationships.
Uh-huh.
It says when things come because of the word, they shrink away. You know, I had a buddy of mine who, I remember he was doing real good with Jesus. And then I started talking to him about tithing. He didn't go here, so praise the Lord. And I started talking about tithing. And he was doing good with Jesus until he started talking about tithing. He was like, oh, wait a minute. That's not like a number that's quite large in my estimate. And I said, yeah, 10%. He said, I can't afford to pay 10%. Now, he makes about 5 times much more than I'd ever made. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I can't pay 10%. I said, well, can I just ask you, like, how much you make? And we started going through how much he made. And I said, well, son, you got plenty of money to pay 10%. He said, let me go through, wait a minute, I got responsibilities. I got my house payment. I got the 2 other houses I own payment. I got my Jaguar payment. I got my Benz payment. I got my, so I can't, after all that stuff done. I said, so you telling me, you going to tell God you can't pay him his money because you spent it on you. But that was a wrestling match for him, and that was a point of, man, I either got to deal with this or I'm going to go away. You know what the rich young ruler does sometimes, goes away sad. But a lot of times it says, look, that thing can shoot up real fast. That's why, man, I love when people get saved, but I don't get as excited as everybody else when people are ready to jump in. Oh, use me. Most times I see people running towards this microphone, I run away from them. Because if you ever run, if you feel like I'm running towards being a pastor, you might be off your rocker a little bit. Because I was told you got to be cold or crazy.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, we're both, right? And the person looked at me and said, nope. One or the other. Most times I see people running and want to get up front and get out front. I want to check the depth. Show me you can live right for like a year. Some of you gonna be around because we'll see people blow in the church and blow out the. But the good scripture said they endured for a while. You don't even know what a while is. You know what happens? See, the Bible talks about two things. The Bible talks about the true and false conversion, the true and false convert, and it talks about the genuine dude who just walked away. I believe what we see a lot in the church today are false converts. And the only way you know a false convert is when they go through trials, tribulation, and temptation. It's the only way that you know if you're true or false. And so this soil does good for a while. Man, they could be preaching, teaching, doing music. Come on, you ever seen that minister who just did ministry for so long and then bottomed out? Where would that be? But they're good for a while. I don't know what a while is. But you can be doing good for a while. But the Bible says he who endures to the end shall be saved. And we don't like to talk that way because we like to rush. We like to, let me see how many people get saved. All the hands go up. Man, 30 people got saved today. Will they be saved tomorrow? How are they going to finish? And just because people give you a position don't mean you're saved.
That's right.
I think there are many unsaved people in pulpits today.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because we invite people to church and not to Jesus. And you invite somebody to church and they got good attendance, all of a sudden you make them a minister. And all of a sudden you elevate them to pastor. And then you wonder why they sleep with half the congregation. Oh, they were a man of God. No, they weren't. They just hung around for a while. And they even experienced some of the goodness of, you can even experience the goodness of God for a while.
Yeah.
Because kingdom principles work even for the unsaved.
Mm-hmm.
Reaping and sowing works for the unsaved. God says, I reign on the saved and the unsaved alike. The principles work, so don't confuse the principles working in your life with a genuine relationship. Got that? So that was one. Because that stony ground, it shoots up, but then it disappears, but there's really no legit relationship. The one I really want to focus on, though, that really been gripping my heart, is the one that fell amongst the thorns. It said the seed fell amongst the thorns, and it says in the scripture in Luke, it says the seed fell amongst the thorns, these are the ones that who have heard, and they go on their way, but as they go on their way, they are choked with the worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. See, that's the part I used to always skip over. They bought fruit, but it was immature. So they actually produced the fruit, but it was immature fruit. How can that happen? Sometimes we start stuff and we don't finish. Give me a class example. You'll do a fast. And you're like, man, that fast was awesome. I really grew in the Lord. And then you won't do it again. Did you take a step forward or a step backwards afterwards? It was so powerful and it produced so much in you, but I'm not doing it again because it was hard. But you just said you grew and got closer to the Lord, but you won't do it again. Maybe you started producing something, but you didn't finish it to maturity. And we get out of shape spiritually. I'm really concerned that the church today is becoming less and less spiritual people. Look, I'm not getting on us as a church, but the reality is we did a fast last month, early this month, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and you'd have thought people lived in Ethiopia. And it's sad, but it's funny, but it's sad. Have we gotten out of shape spiritually? I mean, remember when you first thought I walked the Lord, you fasted like every week. Mm-hmm. That was the time of my life when I used to fast twice a week. And I used to do no food or water. Twice a week. Not because anybody made me. I would get a deck of cards out and pick the card, and that was the day I fasted. Then I started getting around some folks who didn't fast as much. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to cut it back to once a week, because I can come back once a week and still be more spiritual than these guys. And then, all of a sudden, I'm not even doing once a week anymore because I'm free. I got freedom. I don't need the facts. In the name of freedom, I lose my sensitivity. So then I got it down, well, you know, we just fast once a year. Am I going forward or backwards? See, I'm just getting real with you. Like, this really happened. And then, all of a sudden, your disciplines aren't the same. Remember when you used to, like, spend so much time in the Word of God? And so little time with television and music and all. But now, is it still that same intensity? Remember you used to watch shows with like no cursing. But now you tolerate a curse word now and again. We see the Bible says in that one verse, it says the seeds tried to grow amongst the thorns. The seeds and the thorns grew together. Mm-hmm. Let me help you something. Weeds grow faster. Than good seed.
That's right.
You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Weeds grow faster than the good stuff. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to grow together. I guarantee you, if you're trying to find that peace treaty between the world and the spirit, I guarantee you're more worldly than spiritual.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about it in the name of we don't want to be legalistic. But are we really becoming a more spiritual people, or are we trying to grow among the thorns? Here's what the thorns represent in Scripture. The thorns came in the Bible as a result of the curse. That's when thorns showed up. When the fall of man happened, the thorns came up. They represent worthless weeds. All that stuff Ecclesiastes said is meaningless. Unpleasant and need to be avoided. Instruments of punishment, instruments of torment. How many of us are still trying to develop amongst the weeds? And we find ourselves tormented over and over again with the same issues of this world. Yes. Trying to find your piece of a sinking ship. Y'all do know the earth is like a sinking ship.
Yep, that's true.
And we act like, man, there's a hole in the ship and we're trying to grab all the silverware and all the money and all the people. That's just weighing you down as you try to get off the ship. If I know there's a hole in the ship, there's only one thing on my mind. Get my family and abandon ship. peace treaty. Because look, if you get all that stuff and get off the boat, you're still going to die. Because it's going to drown you because now you're trying to hold on to the cares of this world. Y'all, look, I'm not here to pump you up. I'm going to have a deep concern for the body of Christ when I read this scripture. I'm afraid a lot of people live in this third soil and they think it's safe just because you got fruit. But how mature is your fruit? Are you bringing it to completion? Does the world, come on, does Christianity bore you and the world entertains you? We talked about this at men's study this morning. How we went from, you know, people shifted to freedom. And as they shifted to freedom, the relationship, it was like, I no longer do things I'm afraid of going to hell. Because I'm free now. But man, what about good old-fashioned sensitivity to a relationship? Like, do you even give God access to the things in your life that you go after and get his say on it? Look, I ain't afraid to talk about it. Let me be real with you. We make a huge compromise as Christians in the world of entertainment. Now, we said thoughts or spirits. Mm-hmm. Get an eye open. I encourage you. There's something called a vidangel. Pull it up and pull up one of your movies. And it will show you how much profanity is in it. How much blasphemy is in it. You know, blasphemy just, we don't care how much blasphemy in our movies. And I'm amazed at Christians who say, we just went and saw that movie. And you look, how can you subject your ears and your spirit to that? I'm just curious. But not only did you see part one, you're going to see part two. I don't care. I like Marvel as much as the next man. I get a language filter for all that stuff. I know it's called Logan. You got to see the next Wolverine. You really get cursed out for $10 for 2 hours? But then we justify, well, no, it ain't going to affect me. It ain't going to affect me. Well, if what you watch does not affect you, then don't you ever get upset if somebody watches pornography. If what you listen to doesn't affect you, or are you trying to develop amongst the forms? And what gets more play in your life? Are you becoming more spiritual, or are the forms choking the spirituality right out of you? And I don't get a lot of amens, because the idols in our life is entertainment. Mm-hmm. And there was a king by the name of Josiah, yeah, who tore down all the high places. Uh-huh. There was all these kings.
Yeah.
And the kings, they said, this king was great, but he wouldn't take down the high places. Yeah. This king was great, but he wouldn't take down the high places. But then there was a king named Josiah. And they said there was never a king like him before or after who loved the Lord with his whole heart. And he tore down everything that God disagrees with. Have you torn down the high places of your mind?
Yeah.
Are you willing to say, I'll miss that show? It ain't going to benefit me. Or are you just free? It ain't going to be bound. Trust me. It affects you. It affects you. Now, listen to what I'm saying, what I'm not saying, because I want people to leave here confused. I am not saying that what you watch makes you a sinner. But I will say your craving for sin affects what you watch. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying what you watch makes you a sinner. But I'm asking, if God disapproves, do you care? Or do you already determine, I'm going to do what I'm going to do? What's the scripture saying? What choked out that seed? The cares for pleasure. The cares for the pleasure of this world. And be honest with yourself. There was a time in your life when you had a higher standard.
Uh-huh.
But the world is patient.
Yep.
It will slowly wear you down. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. Mona's keep trying to do the I ain't watching that stuff thing. She'll be back. Give her 5 years. It'll wear off.
Uh-huh.
Let's just call Becky over the top. Let enough people call her over the top. She'll use her freedom. And here's the thing about sin. It's not a gentleman. When it gets in here, it starts going rampant.
Yeah.
Even if you never do what you saw, then we ask God what he thinks about it. you never do what you sow, I guarantee you it affects you. So I'm just looking at these soils. And that's just on the thought level. But how many of them on the action level? We'll hear things like, love your enemy. I know I need to, but we'll know something is wrong, and we'll still do it. I'm going to do it. I know it's wrong. And we laugh, and we joke about it. Like, it's okay.
Uh-huh.
People boast that I'm rebellious. That's not a joke. Don't stand near me.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm supposed to treat my wife a certain way, but. I know I'm supposed to treat my husband a certain way, but. What if all these tests and trials you're going through was not about your husband, your wife, your friends, or your coworkers? What if it's God showing you where you really stand?
Uh-huh.
And it's best that he shows you on this side. Yeah. Then you have a Matthew 7 experience when you stand before him and he says, back up off me, I don't know you.
Uh-huh.
That's a real verse, y'all.
Yeah.
And he's got to be talking to somebody. And I don't know why we read those verses and we automatically exclude ourselves. Man, this person, the first person I check to make sure that person is talking about is me.
Yes.
I don't want my gifts to be confused with my walk with God.
Amen.
And the best litmus test there is when I face trials, temptations, tribulations.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds over the top, but remember back in the day, they didn't even tell you, like, man, the scripture is above all else, guard your heart, this is the wellspring of life, and we let things in, and once rebellion gets in, it will manifest in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
I know I need to keep quiet, but
mm-hmm.
You know when the Holy Spirit is telling you, don't open your mouth, but you've already gotten used to overriding the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
See, you can get used to it, that's what I'm telling you, it's a slow fade. You get used to not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, so therefore, I'm sorry. I know I should, but yeah, I know. Praise God. And then we try to change doctrine to fit our life. Well, I'm a mess, but I'm God's mess.
Yeah.
I'm God's mess. You ain't God's mess. You might be a mess, but you ain't God's mess. And so when Jesus talked about this scripture, he's saying none of these first three soils are safe. I'm just asking, how seriously do we take this in our life? When I read this stuff, it makes me want to check me, because there's only one soil that I can guarantee from this scripture is saved. But all the other ones have the look.
Uh-huh.
But it says the last soil is the good soil who hear the word, respond to the word, and it says, by perseverance. Man, I just see a weak Christian being developed who can't take a little testing,
mm-hmm.
quick to complain about how hard life is.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up and serve.
Yes.
You ain't got it bad, that's in America.
Uh-uh.
But we're creating a weak Christian, and then we just get around talking about how hard life is and how hard your journey is. And how. So talk to Jesus about hard, please. The Bible says none of us has suffered to the point of bloodshed. Crazy. But we're making a weak Christian that doesn't know how to persevere. I'll be patient until things don't happen as fast as I want. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm patient until something tries my patience.
Uh-huh.
Right? I'll be faithful. I'll be pure as long as I'm single. I love my wife like Christ loved the church, as long as she loved me the way she's supposed to.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to love my enemies, love my boss. See, where's the perseverance? That perseverance of Paul that says nothing will stop you from loving God. Nothing will stop you from going all out for the namesake of Christ. See, that's good soil when you go through the fire and you're still producing good fruit. That is the most prophetic thing in the scripture is we must produce good fruit.
Yeah.
The Bible says a bad tree cannot. It doesn't say may, it doesn't say sometimes.
Nope.
A bad tree cannot produce good fruit, and a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. The fruit always defines the tree.
Amen.
So you can tell where your
under an apple tree all you want.
Uh-huh.
If orange things keep coming out of you, I'm going to call you what you are. You're an orange tree.
That's right.
No, I'm an apple tree. I know I got baptized an apple tree.
That's right.
You're an orange tree. Because you keep producing oranges.
Mm-hmm.
And the fruit always defines the tree. It's not the other way around. But in the name of mercy and grace, we become great excuse makers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that's a man of God, but they got faults like everybody else. We got excuses, you know. Oh, they're a man of God. But if the fruit is not saying man of God, if the fruit's not saying woman of God, then guess what? You're not a man of God. You're not a woman of God. But I'd rather start with somebody else. Start with your mirror. Every sin you make an excuse for, that's who you are.
Yeah.
Do not believe the lie of the culture and the church culture. I'm not what I do. I am who Jesus says I am. Jesus says you a sinner. And Jesus said the fruit will always tell you who you are.
Uh-huh.
So yes, you are what Jesus says you are. You're not living right. You got bad fruit. You're a bad tree.
Yeah.
I'm not who. That's who makes up this stuff. I'm not what I do. I'm what the word of God says I am. The word of God says you hell bound. Because the fruit always defines the tree. And there really is no excuses.
Nope.
I'm going to bring it back to Pastor Jordan. Narrow road.
Yes.
Narrow road. And the crazy thing is, we don't like to preach this way. But when Jesus preached this way, people would bail on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would turn to folks and say, y'all want to leave too. So you preach a press Jesus. Jesus would not press. Y'all want to leave too. Like, where else we gonna go? They didn't think we wanna leave. You know, sometimes I'm like, Jesus, where else we gonna go? You got the words of eternal life. Y'all, it's the basic, most basic principle in the kingdom that is so neglected.
Yeah.
The least preached about character in churches is Jesus Christ.
Yep.
The least taught teachings on the teaching of Jesus Christ. And he said, if you don't get this teaching, you won't get anything else.
Mm-hmm.
That when the word of God goes forth, everybody hears it. But only those who respond and produce fruit are really saved.
Yeah.
And he said, if you don't get that, if you don't get that principle, you're going to make me to be somebody you want me to be. But the heart of who I am, when the word goes forth, and the only way you know you're saved is when you get tried and you still do Jesus.
Yes.
When you got temptation and opportunity,
yep,
you still do Jesus.
Right.
When Jesus leads you out to temptation and you say, I'm walking away from it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? When everybody, you got every reason to slap somebody and you walk away and still do Jesus.
Yes.
I got every reason to argue with them. But I'm going to do Jesus. There is really no backup plan. We are called to do Jesus. He did not come to be a part of your life. He came to replace you.
Yes.
Remember my old heads, remember the invasion of the body snatchers? Remember that? They didn't come up. They took you and replaced you. It looks like you, but it looked like them, but it wasn't them. Jesus came and he replaced a lot of them. I look like the same dude, but I'm not him. That dude,
amen,
that old dude died.
Amen.
But if you're still the same, but now you just added some Christianity to you, that's not Christianity. That's someone who likes Jesus. That's not someone who loves Jesus and gives their life for Jesus. And so the bottom line, y'all, go back and study this and see where you are. I know some people are like, oh man, I don't want you to be nervous about whether you're saved or not. I want you to be nervous about whether you're saved or not.
Amen.
Jesus wants you to be nervous,
yes,
about whether you're saved or not.
for some of us, the only reason we're married is to find out if you saved or not. Because nobody can bring the devil out of you.
Got that right.
What if it's not about my husband? What if it's not about my wife? What if God is trying to show, do something in me and I'm still kicking against it? What if the job is not about the boss? What if God's trying to reveal? What if it's really God trying to show you where you stand? Because we all been treated wrong by somebody.
Amen.
Now, who says I've been treated as wrong as Jesus been treated? And I'll be following his script. When he was being treated poorly, what'd he say? Nothing.
Yep, that's the truth.
You get treated wrongly, what you saying? How are you following him? See, I love it. I guess because I got that sports background. You either on the team or you're not. I don't care if you got the jersey. I played at SU. You can get all the SU gear you want. That don't mean you're on the team. It means you're a fan of the team. And we can do all the Christianese stuff we want. That does not mean you're on the team. Because this is a team full of dead men and women who've been resurrected, who no longer live, but Christ lives in them. And they produce a harvest of good seed, good fruit. And so Jesus says, make the tree bad or make the tree good. You actually got a say in what you do. You can't control everything. All that you can control is what type of soil you are. So look. That's off the cuff, because that's all the Holy Spirit's giving me for you. I wish I could have a smooth landing. Come on, Pastor Mark, land the plane smooth. Jesus didn't land it smooth.
No.
He says, he who has an ear, get with me. And I'm not begging you. I love you enough to give you the truth.
Amen.
He who has an ear, let him hear what he's saying.
Amen.
To the church. The first person you better make sure is saved is you. I don't want to see you evangelizing on the block if you don't know if you see. But it's the easy way. Fruit don't lie. Close your eyes for a moment. The Bible tells us to make our call and election sure. Talk to God right now. What kind of soul am I, God? Be real with me. He's not going to tell you to condemn you. He's going to tell you to either encourage you or to rescue you. God, what type of soil am I, really? If this is the most important question in my life. Come on. What kind of soil am I? 24/7. Can't have part-time fruit. There's no such thing as a half-orange, half-apple tree. What am I, God? Where am I really? Have I just been enduring for a while? God, help me. Am I trying to grow amongst the thorns and get the best of this world and the best of you at the same time? God, help me to let go. It's got to be all you or nothing. God, I want to be good soil. I want to hear your word. And even if I don't see it change anybody else, it's going to radically change me.
To stay connected with our church, you can like us on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter using the handle @TryOurChurch. Or you could send us an email to info@TryOurChurch.com. If you'd like to financially partner with our church in carrying out the Great Commission, you can do so through text to give. Just send a text message to 443-201-7266 and include your dollar amount. Thanks for tuning in.